You ever think about that? Why did he love me so? I think about me and my sin and my fleshly nature and the life I have led. And, you know, I get to a point sometime I said, surely there's no way that Christ died for me. I'm such a sinner. I'm so weak and so feeble and unable to please him. Why would he love me? Well, we know we're comforted by the scriptures. We're told that Christ came into this world to save sinners. To save sinners. And that gives me comfort. He came into this world to save sinners. Yes, sir, brother.
Really quick question.
Yes, sir.
Is there any way that one can be baptized twice?
Yes, sir, there are. And we could discuss that after church. If you'd like to discuss that, we surely will. I won't. Okay. Well, I appreciate that question. And you know, just real quickly, what he's talking about there. I ask people that ask me that question sometimes, or why does somebody get baptized twice? I say, well, if you get married twice, do you tell your betrothed or your new husband or wife that you're getting ready to marry? Say, well, I don't need to go through a marriage ceremony with you because I got married once before. That's ridiculous, isn't it? That doesn't sound, you know. Well, they say, well, no, that'd be crazy. Well, why is that crazy? Well, I had a love for this other person at the time, and I found out that it was not a true love, not a good love, and that love has died and gone away, and now I have a new love. I have a new understanding, and I have a new love, and I want to marry this other person. Well, apply that to your spiritual life. You might have been in a spiritual situation, and you felt the need to be baptized because that's what you were instructed to do, to be baptized. But later on, that love or that particular baptism or that group of spiritual people kind of faded away. And then you found a new home where you felt a stronger bond, a stronger love. And maybe you came to new understanding about the grace of our Lord. And you want to become part of that group. You can be baptized into that group because you're marrying Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. We are his bride. And we are taking up our cross to follow him in newness of life and new understanding. So that's just a brief explanation there, but a good question. I want to read a psalm that Sister Molly brought to my attention. And Psalms 139. Psalms 139. She pointed out to me that reminded me of my father, who she used to hear preach very often, that he was called the psalmist preacher. That was his nickname. He preached from the Psalms all the time. But she asked Brother Joe or I, so if you get an opportunity, let's look at the 139th Psalm, and she's wanting a little more understanding or a little more light there. And I really do appreciate that. You know, 2 weeks ago, Brother Don was here, and Brother Joe and I were talking. We was working on our schedule, and Brother Don was telling us when he was not going to be able to be here and when he would like for Brother Joe to try to speak and for me to make an effort, and believe me, it's an effort. I thought mine was next Sunday, and I realized in the middle of the week we got an email from Brother Don, and he said he was going to be in Phoenix this weekend, and I knew Brother Joe had stood and spoke with us last weekend, and I said, oh my goodness, I need to try to speak to the Lord's people this Sunday. And I kind of panicked. I said, you know, my mindset has not been on that this particular week. Have I been studying? Yes, I've been looking at the Word of God. I've been listening to different things in scriptures, but I didn't have that anxious desire to be ready to share something this morning. So for the last few days, I've been kind of struggling and said, well, what am I going to speak on? And I prayed to the Lord that give me strength and show me, give me what I need to give to these people. Give me something that maybe will be edifying, because I'm not the one that should be standing here right now. I'm not the one that should be admonishing you, because I admitted a while ago I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and it's not my place to be standing here. I don't understand that. But it is my lot to stand here and try to speak to you, and with your prayers. The song we sang earlier, Brother Joe led it. I believe it was number Brethren We Have Met to Worship, number 4.
That was actually me that led that.
Thank you, Brother Chris, and I'm so glad you're here to help us lead the singing like you do.
Well, thank you very much.
But I'm glad that you selected that song and that we sang that song. If you want to flip your book to number 4, I want us to just, we sing this a lot, but sometimes we sing and we don't pay attention to the words that we're singing. Well, I know this song, and you're looking around the room, and there's Sister So-and-so, she just got here, you know, I wonder how she's doing, and you get to thinking about things other than the things that we should be focusing on today. Now, today is not the only time that we're supposed to focus on these things. We're supposed to pray continually, like I told you about 6 weeks ago. You pray continually. It's scriptural. How do you do that? You know, well, it's hard to do, but that should be our desire, and it should be our effort to pray to the Lord continually, that he would bless not only yourself, but bless all of the people that you know and love, and bless his children. That's our responsibility. But let's look at this song, Brethren. Now, that's right off the bat. There you go. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord, our God. We're admitting that our brethren are together here, and we're worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
And he's our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? And that's what hit me, you know. I'm asking you to pray with all your power while I try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down.
Amen.
Let us pray that holy manna may be scattered all around. Some books say showered all around, but they changed that word. Look and see poor mourners around you, fearing, trembling as they go, longing for a hope in Jesus. Will you comfort them or no? Let us tell them of the Savior. Tell them that he may be found. Let us pray that holy manna may be scattered all around. Is there here a trembling jailer seeking grace and filled with fears? Is there here a weeping Mary pouring forth a flood of tears? Let us join our prayers to help them. Let our faith and love abound. Let us pray that holy manna may be scattered all around. Let us, fourth verse, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners that our God their souls renew. Then we'll love them still the better, take them to our kind embrace, journey with them on to glory, there to sing redeeming grace. All we get to do when we get to heaven is to praise our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father and love his people. Can you imagine that? You know, we talk about heaven, how beautiful it's going to be. We've had a My wife and I've had a week of, I don't know, wondering and sorrow and different things. There's been a lot of tragedy in the world. The little girl in South Carolina that got kidnapped and murdered, and then there was another family in another state. A neighbor or somebody's neighbor that we knew, the young teenage boy decided he would kill his mom and dad and his brother and sister, and I think he took his own life, I'm not sure. But it brought to mind the tragedy that can happen in this world, the cruelty that's out there. And it brought to mind our daughter and our grandsons and who... in 2016, was their life was taken in a tragic way. And I couldn't help but think of Deborah's son, my nephew, Richard, thinking about the tragic losses that we have experienced. And I know we all have had tragic losses in our lives. But when we get to heaven, yeah, we're going to be glad to see him. But that's not going to be really our main concern. Our main concern is to be look upon Jesus Christ, get down on our knees and worship him and praise his name with those loved ones that have gone before. We're all together going to be on the same plane. We're all going to be there praising and adoring our matchless Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And forever, how long? Forever, we will be with the Lord. Can you imagine that? All of your family that's gone, you know, the Lord's people are going to be there. There's going to be family there you don't even know, you know. And together you're going to be able to sing praises to his grand and glorious name with them. Together, you're going to join your voices. Our bodies are not going to have bruises on them. We're not going to have bad knees, Sister Betty, Brother James. You know, we're not going to have that. Sue, your back's not going to hurt. Joe, you're going to be well. You're not going to be walking around on a stand-up walker. You'll be walking around just like everybody else. And the light of the Lord will be shining on us all. There'll be no infirmities. There'll be no death. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no tears. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? What a wonderful time that's going to be. What a wonderful time. So let's look at the 139th Psalm. You know, I prayed to the Lord, said, Lord, here I am unprepared again. I need to say some things and speak some things. I said, please, give me what I need. Put it upon my heart and on my mind. And as I was sitting in the dining room, it seemed like every one of you gave me a little tidbit as you came in. Every one of you gave me a little tidbit. Sister Molly gave me a big tidbit, but everybody gave me a little tidbit. First off, they shook my hand and they said, Brother Gary, they greeted me in such a way that they were showing their love to me. Brother Gary, good morning. How are you? They were glad to see me. Brother Joe and I sit there, and I like to play this game with Brother Joe. I like to ask him questions, see if I can trip him up, you know, and he does the same with me. And, I'll go to what he said, well, we talked about here in a few minutes. And it's basically where I thought I was going to be this morning when it come time to come up here and speak. But the Lord hopefully is guiding me. And it, you know, that's a strange thing to say. That's a strange thing to comprehend, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, might be putting his hand upon me, and my words are coming out from the Lord. And I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I should be that particular vehicle. But if that be happening, then let's praise the Lord and praise him for his mighty power and for his majesty and for his love and for his grace. David, the psalmist, the 139th Psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Amen. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, that's kind of scary. I told you earlier, I'm a sinner, and I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of. But here, David is telling us, you know, the Lord has searched you and known you. He knows everything about you. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising, thy understanding my thoughts afar off. You know, our actions, sometimes we think, well, if I didn't do it, if I didn't do that particular thing, I didn't actually sin. No, he knows our thoughts afar off. If you think about it, we're told if we look on a woman and lust after her, we committed adultery in our heart. Idolatry. Do you commit idolatry? Is there something that you put above your Lord? Is there something out there in the world that you've got to have so bad? It could be something small or it could be something big. That becomes the focus of your life, is to gain that, is to get that big house. And I'm going to do what I can. I've got to work 6 days a week. Maybe I'm not going to, I'll have to work on Sunday. I'm going to not dedicate my life so much to the Lord. I've got to dedicate it to me. I've got to dedicate it to me so I can have this. That's idolatry. We don't want to do that. Thou compassest my path. Third verse. Am I lying down and are acquainted with all my ways? Thou compassest my path. Compasses you is like a compass, a circle. Thou art all around me. I'm surrounded by thee, Lord. And my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Everything that I do, you know it. I can't get away from it. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Before you even speak the word, Brother Chris, the Lord knows it was there.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Is this not a powerful Lord that we're talking about,
Chris?
We
have a powerful God.
Powerful Lord that he knows all this. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Is there a place you can go, boys, that the Lord won't see you?
Heaven.
The Lord won't know where you are. Can you hide from him?
No.
You can't hide from him. Can you commit something, some grave sin, or do something wrong and think, well, if I go over here in this closet, or if I go down the street and where it's dark and shadowy, maybe the Lord won't see me. Maybe the Lord won't know about this. Can that happen? No, it doesn't happen. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory.
He's gonna be there, and he's gonna have his right hand upon you.
Amen.
You might think you're gone from the Lord. You might be as far away from the Lord as you can get, but he's there, and his right hand is upon you. He's actually guiding your steps. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? To God, darkness, night, and light's the same.
Amen.
Because he's the light of our world. He's our spiritual light. He doesn't need light to see anything like you and I do. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. What? In my mother's womb thou knew me, thou coverest me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelously, yeah, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, sister. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. What's that talking about? When he was in the womb, when I was made in secret in the lowest parts of the earth, I was not hid from you. My substance was not hid from you. Thine eyes did see my substance. The Lord saw him, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in kindness were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In the Lord's book did he write down all the members of David, as David's saying here, when I didn't even have the members made. They weren't even there, but he wrote them all down. All of your members are made. He knows your hair, your fingernails, every hair on your head's got a name. He wrote it down. Thine eyes did see my servant, yet being unperfect, and in that book all my members were written, which in continence were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. How precious is the Lord's thought. He's thinking about you. You know, you're his child. He thinks about you continually. He knew you before you came out of the womb. If I should count them. Here we go. Here we go counting again, Sister Deborah. How precious are the thoughts. How great is the sum of them. For if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid of the people that persecute. Why? Because the Lord is standing there right beside you, and he's going to fight those battles for you. His right hand is upon you. Don't fear the earth. Don't fear the devil, because the Lord is with you. Now, what if we were... Our life was to be taken. It don't matter, because instantly we're with the Lord. You're in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you what, I just soon die today as wait for another 30 years, because I want to see that. I want to wake up in his presence. I want him to reach down and pull my spirit and my soul up to heaven with him. And I want to be with him when he comes back, when the trumpet blows and everybody, all the children of God on the earth, the dead that are in the graves are going to burst out of the graves. Those that be alive, they're going to come together. They're going in the sky. And what are we going to do? We're going to go and be with him eternally. Where? In heaven. In heaven. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Now, what's David saying? I know you'll slay the wicked, so you bloody men, you bad people that are persecuting me, you worldly people, just depart from me. Oh, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. These enemies of David, they speak against his Lord wickedly. And they take his name in vain. Don't you just hate that when you're around somebody that just every other breath, taking the Lord's name in vain? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemy. That's right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen, amen, amen. Lead me in the way everlasting. Are you going to let the Lord lead you? Are you going to pray to the Lord and ask him to give you guidance? Show you the things that you should do? You know, sometimes I'll pray and I say, well, I'm going to ask the Lord for this. And I'm a little guy. And I don't think the Lord's going to hear me, and I'm not really going to get an answer, you know. But there's lots of times I get answers to my prayer before I ever pray them, you know. We, as we live and as we go and as we do things, if we are honest with our brethren, if we speak good to all men, if we're kind, There's a blessing in that. You know, there's a blessing in being a peacemaker. Calming the battles and the fears. And that makes me think of another. I think it's in Colossians. Sometimes I can just turn right to them, and sometimes I don't. I know y'all don't have that trouble. Colossians, and I believe the third chapter. Now, we could look back in the first two chapters, and the Apostle Paul is addressing this church at Colossae. And who were those people at Colossae? Look at the first chapter real quick. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's addressing the Lord's people at this church in Colossae. He called them the saints. These are people, I don't think he'd call them the saints if they were serving the devil or serving the world. They're serving the Lord. And he goes, the first two chapters, he's talking to them and praising them and telling them the things that they've been shown. And they even know the mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, which is now made manifest. Let's look at that's the first chapter, the 26th verse. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is... Here's the mystery that they become aware of, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, I see the word mystery in the scriptures a lot, especially in the New Testament. And I said, what's this mystery they keep talking about? Well, the mystery is the Redeemer. The mystery is Christ came and took care of all these problems. We don't have to worry about these laws, the way the Jewish people had to live and the sacrifices that they had to make. The Lord put that away when he died on the cross. So he's admonishing them and acknowledging them that you're God's people, and he's talking to them, giving all. If you get a chance, read the first two chapters. But then he says on the third chapter, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If Christ be in you this way, seek the things that are above. Christ is there. He's sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. There you go. That's another thing about it. Don't have idolatry for things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, if your life is hid with Jesus Christ inside of God, can anything get to you? Can anybody come after you? Can the devil reach in there and snatch you out of the hand of the Lord? I mean, you're with Christ and you're in God. Is any man going to be able to change that? No. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Nice. Paul's going to give us some little instruction now. While you're living on this earth now, you know all these things. You know you're hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. You know that you've been redeemed. You know you're a saint of the Lord. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And mortify means put away. Don't do these things. Get away from these things which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We talked about idolatry. If you covet something or you want something somebody has, that becomes your idol. For which thing saith the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Huh? What? You, these people that Paul's been addressing, this church at Colossae, these that are hid with Christ, hid with God with Christ, he's saying, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. These people lived in that sin. But now you also put off all of these. You know, these things, this fornication, adultery, idolatry, are some big sins. You know, there's no sin bigger than the other. But to make my point here, they're big sins. You don't want to do this. But now, considering that, eighth verse, ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. Amen. We're being told, quit lying to each other. Is a white lie a lie? Is a little lie a lie? We're not to lie to each other. Anger, do you ever get mad? I got mad. I didn't get to go with my brother to the movie, and I'm mad. We're not supposed to be mad. We're not supposed to be mad at our brethren. Brother James might do something that upsets me, and it might make me a little angry. He never has, but if it ever did, I'm to put that away. I'm not to be angry with my brother. I'm not to lie to any of you. Put on 12th verse. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. You got somebody that makes you mad, forgive him. Don't have a quarrel with him. And above all this, fourth verse, all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. Charity, what's the definition of charity? Love. Put on love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell with you. What's a dwelling? That's where you live. Let the word of Christ live in you, dwell in you. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we do here, don't we? We sing together, we admonish one another. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to talk about this morning, but I've just said it. I've already done it. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you for being here. And I'm thankful for the prayers that I know went forward ahead of time. And I'm thankful, Sister Molly, for you admonishing me as you come in and give me a little tidbit of something. And Sister Sue, your beautiful smile. Betty, you just always look the same. You know, if you stand up here and try to speak to the church, if you want encouragement, you look over at Sister Betty, because she's smiling at you, and she's saying, I go, and her head's going up and down. See, she's saying, talk on, speak on, preach on. She's letting me know she's praying for me, and she wants me to continue what I'm doing. Whether it's any good or not, she wants me to keep going. All right. So we're going to sing a song. Brother Chris, do you have a...
Yes, I do.
Have a song.
256.